Welcome to Missionary Talks, where we talk with missionaries and learn about their lives and work. Today on Missionary Talks, I'm talking with Larry Franklin. His group is International Children's Missionary Enterprises. So I'd like you to start off by just telling us about a little bit about yourself, your family, and your ministry in a nutshell.
Been in the ministry nearly 40 years. My wife and I have been married 42 years. We have four grown children. Oldest son is 40, youngest daughter is 33. They're all married, all have children. In fact, we have 10 grandchildren. Started in the ministry actually teaching children and working with young people in 1968. From that, we started working full-time and was ordained in 1970. Since then, we've worked only in three churches. In 1978, we went to Kansas City, Missouri, to the Kansas City Baptist Temple, worked with Truman Dollar for 6 years there as the children's ministry director, the bus director, and several other positions on that staff. Then in 1984, Jeff Adams became the pastor of that church. He was a missionary. Had been in El Salvador and Central America for over 10 years and had built a very large church there. Came back and became our pastor. After just a very short time, he asked me about going on a missions trip. I'd been overseas before, but I'd never been on a missions trip until 1985, early 85. We went to Costa Rica. In that 1 week of children's meetings and street evangelism and various things, we had 200 or 300 people saved. Again, it's been a long time. I don't remember exactly the numbers, but it was very exciting. Over the next, I suppose, 6 years, my wife and I made probably 20 trips paid for by our church overseas to various missions fields all over the world. And just saw that there was a great need to reach children. Our pastor would say that he would go into a city and there would be maybe 5,000 adults in a stadium somewhere, and he'd be speaking to them, and I'd ask, how about the children? And there were no kids there. Well, where are they? Oh, I don't know. Maybe they have someone or staying with a family member or have someone come and babysit. I don't know, but they weren't there. And so my thought was, well, my goodness, we're not reaching the children of the world. We're going after the adults, and we're leaving the kids behind. And after a while, it just became such that we could no longer stay in one place, and we felt that it was very important for us to get out and attempt to reach all of the children and train all of the teachers and assist all the missionaries that we could. We have been in now 30 countries. We've been almost literally around the world. We've been from Mongolia to the Philippines to South Africa to all over the Middle East, and always working with children and training teachers. And it's just been a blessing. We've had a wonderful time.
When you talk about working with children, what age groups are you working with?
We work normally and best, I suppose, up through junior high. Our ministry never really has involved working with teens so much, other than in foreign countries especially. The teens many times are involved with working with the children of the church. So my wife is probably more knowledgeable on up through 4 years old, and then I work with those who are five or six up through about sixth grade, 12 years or so. Many times we have older children who attend our teacher training meetings, but again, in foreign countries, it's amazing to see how many teens are working with children and begin at a very early age to teach children in their churches.
You seem to have two different ministries then. One is working with the children directly, and then teacher training. Give us an idea of what you would do in one of these children's meetings where you're working with the children, and what do you try to accomplish in the time you're there? How long would a stay in a church be, and that kind of thing?
Well, let me clarify one thing. We do actually three things. Number one is we work with children any way, shape, or form. We've reached children and preached to children in just about any setting, from them sitting in a bathtub to climbing up in a tree with them and standing in the middle of the street or whatever. So we've held children's meetings and reached children in probably every imaginable format. The second thing is the teacher training. Now, when we started our ministry, we determined to do three things. One was to reach children. Two was to train teachers who specifically work with children. And the third thing is to assist missionaries in projects that are designed to reach children. So really, those all correlate. They all tie together. When we go into a church, we try to do as many children's meetings in that church as we can. We do a lot of missions conferences for children in large churches in the United States. They'll have us in to do the children's conference while the adult conference is going on. It gives the children something more than sitting in a pew with a, you know, piece of paper or something that mom's trying to keep them quiet while whoever is in there preaching with them. And then they're bored and mom's frustrated as she can be. So we found that if we would go into the church and take the children aside and actually hold a regular missions conference, have missionaries come in and speak to them very briefly. And sometimes, sorry to say, many missionaries are not really good speakers with children, so we limit it to maybe 5 to 10 minutes, depending on their qualifications and what they like to do. And then that works real well. We do a lot of vacation Bible schools. Well, we used to do a lot of camps. As we get older, we find we don't do quite as many as those. I'm not quite as patient as I used to be, I suppose, now that I've topped 60. But we work with teachers, and normally that is done on a weekend. In the States, it's more of a Friday night, Saturday, and then we stay over for Sunday to many times demonstrate what we've taught. Because if we teach you how to discipline your class, and then we tell you how to do that, and then we don't show you how, many times that doesn't work. And so we're not at all afraid to stay over on Sunday and say, hey, I can teach your class or classes or combine all of your children or all your children and adults, and I can see to it that visually they will understand the lesson and they will sit still, they will pay attention. I have yet to find a group of children that I couldn't control. But normally it's a weekend thing where we do Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
When you do teacher training, can you encapsulate for us in just a couple of minutes what you're trying to teach in that time? What do you find that people really need?
Well, I think the first thing is if you don't have discipline in your classroom, your students are there physically, but they're not there mentally. So we try to teach on discipline and how to manage the classroom, how to keep your children under control, and make them enjoy the class. We talk about three methods of teaching, the audio, the visual, and the participation method, which are biblical. We have that as a very main part, and of course that's with visuals, and we're very, very much excited about visuals, and especially all of the new things that are available these days. You know, we're so sight and sound oriented that it's incredible, and there's so many things available, especially in the churches in the States. There are just so many things out there that are really good material that you can get in your classes. Then we talk about early preparation of your lesson and not starting at 11 o'clock on Saturday night to prepare for Sunday morning, which is ridiculous. Oh my, there are just so many things that teachers need. And we try to make our lessons very practical. We want them to be understood by the teachers. We don't use a lot of big words that people are not going to understand or are going to go away and wonder what we were talking about. And so we try to make our lessons and our training very, very practical. If that one word would probably encapsulate everything that we do.
Often we've been told that we live in a soundbite society. People want things given to them in small chunks and everything. And particularly we hear that said about children and you have to reach children differently today than you did 20 years ago. You've been around a while working with children for 40 years. Do you see that as true? Is it more difficult today, or are children still just children?
I think kids are kids no matter where you are. We've taught Muslim children in Jerusalem and in Bethlehem, Elder Vacation Bible School there just 2 years ago. Kids are kids, and they always have been. They always will be. I believe, personally, if you visualize your lesson, I'm using the same visuals, granted updated somewhat, hopefully, that I was using 30 or 40 years ago. And I'm telling the same stories because the Bible hasn't changed. So there's really no difference in that. Now, the method's changed, but what you're teaching does not change. And so while we may be now using a PowerPoint presentation with a laptop and the video projector, we still use the overhead projector. We still use flashcards. We still use flannel graph and various things like that. Because really, if you're interesting when you're teaching and you're excited and you make your learning fun, they really love it. They're just happy with it. And honestly, I don't see that kids have changed in that way. I believe they mature earlier because of so many things that they see, especially on television these days. But I don't really think they've changed. Kids are kids, and they're kids everywhere. And we've seen them on the Gobi Desert in Mongolia. You know, and they're the same as they are in the jungles in the Philippines. There's no difference. Kids are kids.
as far as the different visual aids that we have available to us today, PowerPoint, overhead projector, obviously some can be used differently than others, but do you think all in all the final goal, you can accomplish what you need to with just about any of those?
You can accomplish the goal with anything. Standing in Zambia in a marketplace in a city in Zambia, standing on two concrete blocks with nothing but Abeka flashcards held over my head, I had the life of Christ. I had over 300 decisions for Christ, adults and children, in less than 30 minutes. And that was going through the life of Christ, birth, death, resurrection, everything, in 30 minutes, just using flashcards. That's really not any different than the same, you know, the same night being in a building that had electricity, and I could use an overhead projector and had the same flashcards on transparencies and teaching the same way and had people saved there. So it really doesn't matter. I think it's more in your voice, the excitement that you have, the presentation that you make. That's more important, really, than the visual. You can become the visual yourself. You really don't have to have anything else. If you are exciting and interesting, people are going to watch you. People are going to watch you. Now, in Africa, they haven't seen a colored picture, so it's pretty obvious. You're holding one over your head. They've never seen one. They're going to look at it. But then you got to say something along with it. You know, if you just show them a picture, it's not going to do any good. It's what you say along with it. Now, if a picture's worth 1,000 words, I could say a lot less if I'm showing the picture than I can if I don't have it. Lecture method to me, standing behind a podium, which I call a protective device, between you and your congregation, you got to get out from that thought, you know, and you have to have some participation with your class or your congregation or with the people that you're teaching. You got to do something besides just try to lecture them and think, well, bless God, I studied and I'm the one knows something here and you don't know anything and let me teach you. Please, we got to get over that and realize that that's not the way that people learn.
Have you found any particular country that you've been to where the children are more difficult to teach as far as, obviously, you'd have to work through an interpreter in some cases, but just being able to keep their attention?
Probably the hardest was in Bethlehem, in a vacation Bible school, in a Baptist church. But we had probably 150 Muslim children who had never heard the name of Jesus, who had been to theaters before, but had never been in a Christian church of any sort before and didn't know anything at all. On a Sunday morning, we had two boys stand up and have a fist fight in the middle of the aisle, in the middle of the morning service. During the week, it was not unusual for us to have to stop fist fights. Amazingly, with some knowledge and abilities and things that I have, I was able to control the crowd, and before the week was out, we had 90 of those young people who had prayed to receive Christ. Now, that was probably the most difficult group that I've ever worked with. Most everywhere else, they're very gentle, very kind, very understanding. But in Israel, of course, you're living in a violent society. They're used to their brothers and sisters being shot at with rubber bullets and water bombs and water cannons and things like that. And you know, we're not discussing who's right and wrong there. It's just a matter of they live with that violence. They're growing up violently. And so it's more difficult to work with them, I think, than any others that we found.
Do you have a testimony you'd like to share with us?
1988, we were challenged to write a little gospel tract for children. It's called A Clean Heart for Boys and Girls. On the back is a little item that those in the States will know as a magic slate. As a child, you may have had one. You know, you write on it, and then you lift the two pieces of plastic, and the object or what you've written goes away. Well, I was in a children's church setting in the Kansas City Baptist Temple one time, and I actually did that sort of thing on a Sunday morning and had children saved in that class who had been in church all of their lives and whom we thought already were saved. But when I used that and went through it in a particular way, it opened the gospel to them. So I thought of putting that on a gospel tract after being challenged by some friends. And now we have the tract, and it's been literally used around the world. We've only produced about 200,000 so far, and we're working on getting more out right now. But we've distributed about 200,000 of them. Of those 200,000 tracts that have been out, we have heard of over 100,000 people who have prayed to receive Christ as a result of the use of the tract. That, to me, is just incredible. It's not only incredible in the fact that that's an awful lot of people. It's incredible in the fact that one out of two tracts, you're going to get a person saved. They cost 5 cents to produce. That means for 10 cents, you can produce a tract and get someone saved for a dime. That's a really, really good investment. Now, the next thing that we did was write discipleship material for children. We have a little booklet called Basic Bible Building Blocks that is five lessons, salvation, eternal security, baptism, Word of God, and prayer, all in one booklet. And at the end of each chapter, we have, I think, seven questions and two memory verses. When they can remember the verses and answer the questions properly, you go on to the next lesson. Obviously, it's for children. Well, it's written about a fourth grade level. We've actually had it used in Christian schools in high school, but it's been very successful, too. We've put several thousand of those out, I suppose, and we've had a lot of people saved off of that, too. So we're excited about that and what few materials that we have out that have worked well for us. We're looking to get over 1 million tracts out within the next 2 years and get them all over the world. We give all of the foreign tracts away. We sell them in the United States for double the cost of printing them. In other words, for 10 cents each. They cost a nickel. I will sell them for 10 cents, and then that way I can get give the other tract away, you see, overseas in foreign languages. And so we've literally shipped them all over the world, and we've had return cards from the tracts come back from all over the world. And that's exciting.
Thank you for your time, Brother Franklin. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners as we close?
Well, if you're working with children, let me suggest that if you're considering missions, of the third world countries in the world, most of them have one half of their population below 15 years old. And that's children. That makes it the largest mission field in the world. And I think that even though it's broken up in all of the people groups and all of those sorts of things, they're still kids. They're still children. Somebody needs to reach them. So many people are going out and saying, I've got to be a pastor, I've got to be a youth pastor, or whatever. But rarely anyone goes and says, I want to work with kids. I want to reach the children of the world. And I think there need to be more people like that who will just simply dedicate their lives to doing that. You know, when I go to foreign countries as a 60-plus-year-old American, you know, North American male who's still working with kids, I am looked at as a rarity. My wife is a rarity when it comes to that. Most people have given up at about 35 working with kids, and they want to go into the pastorate, or they want to be a youth pastor or something else. We just decided a long time ago, I'm not less than anyone else, because I think I'm working at something that is very, very dear to God's heart. And so I think it's very important that young people consider what they can do to reach boys and girls around the world.
You've been listening to Missionary Talks with David Peach. Please visit us at missionarytalks.com.